The Agentic Memory Reading Path, 5 of 5. A user tells their assistant, in January, that they're training for a marathon. In June, they mention offhand that they tore their ACL and had surgery. Then they ask, "What should I do this weekend?" A good assistant does not suggest a 20-mile run. But to get that right, it has to notice that one memory silently invalidated another. Nobody said, "Forget the marathon." The new fact just quietly killed the old one. That is called an implicit conflict, and when researchers built a benchmark to test it, the best frontier model on the market got it right only about 55% of the time. Barely better than a coin flip at knowing when its own memories have gone stale. This is the finale of our Agentic Memory series, and it is about the part of the stack almost nobody measures, forgetting. When a memory should die, whether the system notices, and why this is the frontier the whole field is about to run into. Welcome back. This is episode 5. We have climbed the whole reading path, foundations in the vocabulary, the systems people deploy, procedural skills, and the raw beats distilled twist, the measurement crisis, and how to read a number honestly. All of it has been about remembering. This episode is about the opposite and the field's blind spot. Across all the surveys, one finding repeats. Forgetting is the least measured part of agent memory. Everyone builds systems that accumulate. Almost nobody measures whether the system correctly removes what is stale, wrong, or superseded. So today, the stale benchmark, our reading path's capstone, which tries to measure exactly this. Then the strange flood of brain-inspired forgetting designs and the gap between their ambition and their evidence. Then forgetting as a safety requirement, not just a cost saving. And finally, the open opportunities, what gets built next, and the place where this entire series converges, where memory and reliability turn out to be one problem. The capstone paper by Hanshang Chow and colleagues has a title that is also the question, Stale, can LLM agents know when their memories are no longer valid? And it isolates a failure mode the field had mostly ignored, which they call implicit conflict. That is the marathon and the torn ACL case. A later observation invalidates an earlier memory without any explicit negation. No one says this is no longer true. It requires contextual inference and common sense reasoning to even notice the contradiction. The benchmark is serious. 400 expert-validated conflict scenarios, 1,200 evaluation queries, spanning over 100 everyday topics, with context up to 150,000 tokens. And it probes three distinct abilities, which is the part worth memorizing, because they are three different ways a system can fail at forgetting. State resolution, can the agent detect that a prior belief is now outdated? Premise resistance, can it reject a question that falsely presupposes the stale state? The user who asks, since I still work at Acme, when they told you last month they quit? An implicit policy adaptation. Can it proactively apply the updated state in its downstream behavior? Not just acknowledge the change when asked, but actually act differently because of it? Make the three dimensions vivid, because each is a distinct way to fail. State resolution is the baseline. You tell the agent the marathon is off, and later it correctly reports that you are not, in fact, training. Many systems can do at least this when asked directly. Premise resistance is harder. You ask, what pace should I target for my long run this weekend? A question that smuggles in the false premise that you're still training, and a good agent has to refuse the premise rather than helpfully answer it. Models are bad at this. They tend to accept whatever the question presupposes. An implicit policy adaptation is hardest of all. Without being asked anything about the marathon, the agent proactively stops suggesting running-related plans because it has internalized that the state changed. That's not recall, it's behavioral updating, and it's where systems fall apart. The results are sobering. Across frontier models and specialized memory frameworks, there is a pervasive gap between retrieving updated evidence and acting on it. The best evaluated model reaches only 55.2% overall accuracy across a benchmark of 400 expert-validated scenarios. Models routinely accept outdated assumptions baked into the user's query. That's the premise resistance failure. And they struggle to recognize when a change in one part of the user's state should invalidate related memories. The torn ACL should invalidate not just, is training for a marathon, but a whole cluster of downstream assumptions. The race registration, the training plan, the new running shoes, and models don't propagate that. They treat each memory as an island, when in reality, memories form a web where invalidating one node should ripple to its neighbors. That propagation problem, one chain should cascade to everything it implies, is the deep technical challenge Stale exposes, and it's exactly what its prototype fix targets. The authors also offer a prototype fix called CupMem, and its shape tells you where the solutions are heading. It strengthens write-time revision through structured state consolidation and propagation-aware search. Note the words, write-time and propagation. The bet is that you fix staleness when you write the new memory by actively adjudicating what it invalidates and propagating that across related memories, rather than hoping retrieval sorts it out later. Explicit state adjudication, not passive accumulation. Now, the cultural phenomenon, because the way the field is responding to forgetting, is itself a story. The 2026 wave of forgetting research is overwhelmingly neuroscience-flavored to a degree that is almost a fashion. Sleep phase consolidation, synaptic tagging and capture, Ingram maturation, reconsolidation upon retrieval, hippocampal cortical architectures. The metaphors are everywhere. Two examples we pulled fresh off the mirror this month. One paper, Human-Inspired Memory Architecture for LLM Agents, proposes six cognitive mechanisms at once: sleep phase consolidation, interference-based forgetting, Ingram maturation, reconsolidation upon retrieval, entity knowledge graphs, and more. Another, Superlocal Memory, the Living Brain, implements biologically inspired forgetting with multi-channel retrieval, and notably, zero language model calls in its core loop, a bet that you can get cognitive-style memory dynamics without paying for a model on every operation. There's a real intellectual idea under the metaphors, and it's worth stating fairly, the stability-plasticity dilemma. A memory system has to be plastic enough to absorb new information and stable enough not to overwrite what it already knows. Lean too plastic and you get catastrophic forgetting. The new washes out the old. Lean too stable and you can't learn anything new. The brain manages this balance with mechanisms like consolidation during sleep, moving memories from a fast plastic store to a slow, stable one, and synaptic tagging, marking which memories are worth keeping. Borrowing that balance is a legitimate goal. The continual learning literature even has metrics for it: forward transfer, how much old learning helps new tasks, and a forgetting rate, how much old competence you lose, and a few agent memory papers are starting to import them. I want to be even-handed here, because the instinct is good and the execution is exciting. Human memory is the one system we know of that forgets gracefully, and copying its mechanisms is a reasonable research bet. But here is the gap the surveys keep flagging, and it is the central tension of this episode. The architectural ambition is racing far ahead of the measurement. Beautiful brain-inspired designs are multiplying, and almost none of them report a hard forgetting number. There is no shared retention curve, the way machine learning has standard learning curves. There is no standard, did we delete the right thing, precision and recall metric for forgetting. No agreed way to score whether a pruning policy removed the genuinely stale memories or threw out something rare and important. So you get systems that assert their consolidation mechanism works without ever ablating it against a no-consolidation control to show the mechanism is what's doing the work, which is exactly the methodological sin from episode 4, now in a new costume. The handful of papers that do report hard numbers on catastrophic forgetting reduction, on forward transfer, are mostly in reinforcement learning settings, not in the text memory systems most people are actually deploying. The text side has the ambition and not yet the scorekeeping. This is the field's biggest opportunity, stated as a gap. Stale is one of a tiny handful of benchmarks that put a real number on any of this, and even it focuses on staleness detection rather than the full life cycle. A standardized forgetting metric suite, retention curves, obsolescence precision and recall, negative transfer measurement, would do for this corner of the field what the measurement crisis papers are doing for retrieval. The designs are ready. The scorekeeping is not. There is a reframing of forgetting that changes it from a nice-to-have into a requirement, and it is the bridge from this whole series into the reliability world. Forgetting is not only about cost and clutter. Sometimes forgetting is a safety obligation. Think it through. If your agent durably remembers sensitive facts about a user, that persistence is a liability. A memory that survives across sessions is a memory that can leak across sessions, that can be subpoenaed, that can be stolen, that can surface in a context where it shouldn't. The right to be forgotten is not a metaphor here. It is a design constraint. An early benchmark called Persist Bench starts probing exactly this. When should an agent forget, not to save tokens, but because remembering is the wrong thing to do? And persistence is a security surface too, which connects directly to the reliability themes that run alongside this series. In a stateless model, a malicious instruction injected through a document evaporates after one turn. In a persistent memory, it can lodge, linger, and even propagate, that is, memory poisoning. And the most cited attack in the literature plants a backdoor in an agent's memory through an optimized trigger with no model fine-tuning at all. The defenses the field is consolidating around, provenance and lineage on every memory entry, an audit trail of where each belief came from, are the same defenses that good forgetting requires. You cannot safely forget what you cannot trace. So the unglamorous work of tagging every memory with its origin turns out to serve both goals at once. It lets you delete the right things, and it lets you detect the poisoned ones. This is why forgetting is the right place to end. It is where memory stops being purely an engineering optimization and becomes a question of governance, safety, and trust. An agent that cannot forget is not just inefficient. It is eventually unsafe. So if forgetting is undermeasured and over-metaphored, what does a principled version actually look like? The research points at a few distinct mechanisms, and they're worth separating because the agent forgets can mean very different things. The crudest is time-based decay. Memories lose weight as they age, and old ones eventually fall below a retrieval threshold. Simple, but dumb, because age is a terrible proxy for importance. Your home address is old and you want to keep it. Yesterday's parking spot is fresh and you don't. Better is salience-based retention. Keep what matters, drop what doesn't, judged by some signal of importance rather than recency. The hard part is defining importance without a model call on every memory, which is why the zero language model designs we mentioned are interesting. They try to compute salience cheaply and structurally. More sophisticated still is interference-based forgetting, borrowed straight from cognitive psychology. A memory fades not just with time, but when newer, similar memories crowd it out. This is appealing because it naturally handles redundancy. The 10th time you learn the same fact, the older near duplicates can yield. And the most promising direction, the one Stale's prototype points at, is right time adjudication with propagation. Instead of passively letting old memories decay, you actively decide, at the moment you write a new memory, what it invalidates, and you propagate that decision across related memories. Forgetting becomes a deliberate write operation, not a passive leak. The torn ACL fact doesn't wait to be outcompeted. It actively retires the marathon plan and everything downstream of it. Notice the through line with the rest of the series. The good approaches are the ones that treat forgetting as an explicit, auditable action. The same way Episode 1 reframed remembering as a deliberate action rather than a passive store. And the honest status, again, is that almost none of these mechanisms have been compared head-to-head on a shared benchmark. We can list the options. We mostly cannot yet tell you which one wins, on what kind of memory, at what cost. That is not a closed problem. It is an open field, which is the perfect note to end the series on. So where does the field go from here? The agentic memory map ends not with answers, but with a set of unusually well-defined open problems, and they are worth naming because they are the next few years of work. A unified multi-type white box harness. Nothing today evaluates semantic, episodic, and procedural memory together, with stage-attributed diagnostics, explicit scoring targets, a fixed answering model, and confidence intervals. The whole series has been a tour of partial benchmarks. The flagship contribution would be one that spans all three memory types and tells you not just whether the answer was right, but at which stage it broke, a canonical procedural memory benchmark. Skill Level Bench from Episode 3 is days old and not yet consolidated. The field needs a standard for skill reuse, built around the freeze-then-deploy arc and the no-skill and raw trajectory controls, so that my agent learned a skill becomes a checkable claim. A forgetting and obsolescence metric suite. The thinnest area, as we just covered. Retention curves, obsolescence precision and recall, a standard protocol so the brain-inspired designs can finally be compared on evidence rather than ambition. A synthetic data realism metric. Most of these benchmarks are generated by language models, and there is good evidence the simulators homogenize, that they converge toward a bland average user and lose the long tail of real behavior. We need a way to measure whether synthetic memory data actually resembles the real distribution, plus principled injection of conflicts and distractors. A shared memory security harness. Poisoning success rate, induced over-refusal, cross-user leakage, provenance violation detection, all measured against a common adaptive attack suite, and crucially covering episodic and procedural stores, not just the semantic retrieval that today's attacks target. And the unbenchmarked production axes, multi-user memory isolation, so one user's memory never contaminates another's, proactive memory use, knowing when to surface a remembered fact unprompted, and the cost of getting that wrong, and multimodal long horizon memory, keyed on images and perception, not just text logs. That list is the state of the frontier. Notice that almost every item is a measurement gap, not an architecture gap. The field has no shortage of clever designs. What it lacks still is the scorekeeping to know which ones actually work. Let me close the series by pulling the five episodes into one shape, because there is a single idea underneath all of it. We started with Koala's vocabulary and the storage to experience arc. We toured the systems, ZEP, AMEM, MEM0, and the structure versus cost trade. We watched procedural memory deliver and then humble itself, raw beats distilled. We confronted the measurement crisis and learned the controls that make a number trustworthy. And we end on forgetting the least measured frontier, where memory becomes a matter of safety. The idea under all of it is this: durable, inspectable, governable substrate. The winning lesson, repeated in every episode, is keep the raw, immutable record as ground truth, and treat every clever layer on top, the distilled facts, the extracted skills, the consolidated summaries as derived and fallible, something you can rebuild and must audit. That is the lesson from MEM0's transcript retention, from Skillevil Bench's raw trajectory control, from CUPMEM's right-time adjudication, from the provenance defenses against poisoning. Same instinct, five times over. And this is exactly where agentic memory merges with the larger project of agent reliability. The reliability world, running multi-agent systems in production, arrives at the identical principle from the other direction. Thin control over thick state, pass durable references, not chat summaries, trace everything, recover from a durable log. Memory researchers and reliability engineers are building the same foundation and calling it different names. Memory is a reliability surface. A persistent store is a place where drift accumulates, where poison lodges, where one user leaks into another. You cannot make an agent reliable without governing its memory, and you cannot govern its memory without the substrate. So the mindset I would leave you with after five episodes is a shift in the question. Stop asking how much your agent can remember. Start asking what it remembers that changes its behavior, and whether you can see it, trust it, correct it, and forget it when you have to. Utility over capacity. Governability over cleverness. The field that began by drawing a map of memory is ending by realizing that the hard part was never storage. It was knowing what to keep, what to let go, and how to prove you got it right. That is the series. Five episodes, 13 papers, one reading path, from the founding taxonomy to the forgetting frontier. Koala gave us the words. The systems gave us the trade-offs. Procedural memory gave us humility. The measurement crisis gave us discipline. And forgetting gave us the frontier. And the reason all of this matters. An agent that cannot forget is, in the end, an agent you cannot trust. Thank you for walking the whole path. If this series did its job, the next time someone shows you a memory system, you will know which questions to ask. What's the scoring target? Where's the white box view? What's the control? And what happens when a memory needs to die? Keep your transcripts. Audit your schemas, and measure the thing everyone forgets to measure. Until next time.